Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful celebration of Pentecost, the coming of your Spirit in power. Help me now, I pray, to pass on those words that you've given me, shown me, and help us, each of us, to hear your message in our minds, in our hearts, and help us to be doers of your word and not hearers only, for the glory of Jesus, our Saviour. Amen. The last words before somebody dies are always considered very important, and sometimes when people are quite well known, they are reported in the paper. The last words of the Lord Jesus just before he died on the cross were all about the Holy Spirit, because he wanted to leave that at the end, because the work of the Spirit is so important, so incredibly important. So I want to take John 14, John 16, and Acts chapter 1. We're going to head all, haven't got time to read it out, but I want to pick out one or two things. First of all, John 14, which we've heard read to us. The Holy Spirit is a counselor. He's the one, the paraclete. He's the one who calls alongside us. He is the teacher. He teaches us the truth. He is called the Spirit of Truth. The truth is something that you can rely on. It doesn't alter. It remains completely trustworthy. Jesus said, "I am the truth," because we can trust in him completely. John 16, very important. The work of the Spirit is to bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the work, that's the touchstone of everything that you can judge. Is that bringing glory to Jesus or not? If it's not, then it's not the work of the Spirit. If it is, it will bring glory to Jesus. That is the touchstone. And then Acts chapter 1, Jesus said to his disciples, "Wait here in Jerusalem until you're baptized with the Spirit. You will be endued," Luke says that, "you will be endued with power from on high, and you will be my witnesses." My. Everything about the Holy Spirit is that we're going to witness to the Lord Jesus. That's the purpose of the Spirit, to bring Jesus. The Spirit doesn't like to be he's sort of on the wings, but the spotlight should be on the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And so the day of Pentecost, chapter 2, comes, which we're celebrating today. They were filled with the Spirit, and then they were launched out into the street. And what do? They witnessed to Jesus. Peter stood up and he told them all about Jesus, what he'd done, what he's doing, what he could do, celebrating all that he had done. Peter witnessed. 3,000 people became believers on that day. Now, God wants every single believer to be filled with the Spirit. Let's be absolutely certain about that. He wants us to be filled with the Spirit, and he wants us to be filled continuously with the Spirit. Paul says to the Ephesians, "Be filled with the Spirit." Now, in the Greek, actually, it says, it's an imperative passive, being filled with the Spirit. We can't fill ourselves with the Spirit. Only God can fill us. But it needs to be continuous. It needs to start and it needs to continue. Be being filled constantly. That is not just a vague suggestion. Jesus said, I think you ought to be filled. No, it's a command. Be filled with the Spirit. Not everyone is filled with the Spirit. As Paul writes to the Ephesians, I've already quoted it, be filled with the Spirit. I don't like the word if you're not filled with the Spirit, you're empty, because every single believer has the Holy Spirit. And I believe that, well, Jesus said, no one, when anybody comes to me, no one can snatch them away from me. If you are a believer in the Lord Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit, but you might be empty. I don't say empty, I say not filled, and there's a difference. Of course, it is a spiritual condition, being filled. Now, there has to be a first time. Surely there has to be a first time. Has there not? For the disciples, it was on the day of Pentecost. Now, as you go through Acts, you'll see there are different ways that people experience the Holy Spirit for the first time. Some are immediately, when they're told they believe in Jesus, and they're filled with the Spirit. Now, some people, there was a delay. Now, think of Philip going down to Samaria. He told them about Jesus. They started believing in him. They were baptized. And then the message got to Peter and John in Jerusalem, come down. It was a few days later. Peter and John laid their hands on them, and they were filled with the Spirit. There was a gap between them believing in Jesus and being filled with the Spirit. Now, Paul, on the road to Damascus, he met Jesus. He says to the Lord, Lord, and that's a really good first word when you believe in Jesus. Lord, he is the Lord. What he then went into Damascus, and what was he doing? Praying. When you believe in Jesus, actually your prayer life is completely different. Before you believe in Jesus, people pray. They do pray. They get into trouble and they say, God, oh, I don't really believe him, but God, please help me. They say that. And many people say that. They don't really know the Lord. But when you are a believer, you know the Lord and your prayer is totally different. You're praising the Lord for who he is. You're thanking him for all that he's done. That's prayer. Paul's praying, wasn't he? In Damascus. And then Ananias came. He prayed for him to be what? To be filled with the Spirit. 3 days later, there was a gap. So some people are filled immediately when they become believers. Some people, actually, a few days later. I was a few days later. Actually, it was 8 months. For 31 years, I was a really keen church girl. I was a Sunday school teacher. Yes, I was on the PCC. It's amazing. On the PCC. I was PCC secretary. I was there. Actually, one day they got me into the pulpit. Amazing. I didn't know the Lord. And then I came to believe in Jesus, and everything changed. And then, what happened in the 8 months? I heard about the Spirit. I was taught about the Spirit. I recognized my need. I remember saying to the Lord, Lord, I want to be used by you. I want to tell other people about you. But I don't have any power. I actually was asked to preach. The vicar said, and one person, and it was really good actually, one person said to me, I don't know why the vicar allowed you to preach. And that was good, it was good, it's good when somebody is real with us. And I knew that I didn't have the power. And then I asked a friend of mine to pray with me. He prayed for me, and I was filled with the Spirit. And I have never been completely different ever since. And then, it was amazing. He said to me, he's a very humble man. He said, look, I was filled in the Spirit in the past, but please pray for me that I will be filled with the Spirit again. We need to be filled with the Spirit again and again. What prevents us being filled with the Spirit? People who don't know about the Spirit, they don't know who the Holy Spirit is. Yes, I came to Pentecost services all those 31 years, But the Holy Spirit had nothing to do. I didn't know anything about the Spirit. I felt it was nothing to do with me. Pentecost, nothing to do with me. But actually, it is. I've been telling you about the Holy Spirit. You can't blame me for not telling you about the Holy Spirit. People who haven't yet believed, they say to me, look, if I'm filled with the Spirit, I'm going to lose control of my life. I don't want that. Now, if you're filled with the Spirit, I can tell you, you are more self-controlled. It is part of the fruit of the Spirit, self-control. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. You're set free when you're filled with the Spirit. Galatians, Paul writing to the Galatians. And then the wrong motive. Do you remember Philip down in Samaria? Simon, he saw the people being filled with the Spirit. He said to Peter, look, here's some money. I'm going to pay you some money to be filled with the Spirit. Peter said, repent. You've got the completely wrong motive. Our motive can be wrong. And it's either you want to use the Holy Spirit or be used by the Holy Spirit. There's total difference. You can't control the Spirit. The Spirit, as the Celtic Christians used to say, was the wild goose. The wind blows where it comes and you don't know where it comes from and you don't know where it's going. That's the work of the Spirit. You can't control him. He's God Almighty. He's wonderful. I can't tell you how wonderful he is. Wrong motive. Get the motive right. And then, if sin is in our life, the Spirit is Holy Spirit. If there's sin in our life, if there's anything that we're doing which is displeasing to God, then we won't be filled with the Spirit and we'll be empty. Sin is a terrible, terrible thing. It will prevent us being filled with the Spirit. So how can we receive the Spirit? First of all, to hear about the Spirit and then recognize your need. Like I did, I knew that I didn't have power to witness to Jesus. And then you want to glorify God, don't you? That's the whole purpose. Fill me with your Spirit, Father, in order that I can glorify Jesus. Jesus said in Luke chapter 11, if you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Ask, that's all you have to do. You have to ask. Ask in faith. See a brother or a sister, get them to pray for you. You don't actually need anybody because God will actually do it. But it's very, very helpful. Again and again in the Acts of the Apostles, the Acts of the Holy Spirit, people laid hands on them and then they prayed, they received the Spirit. Very, very good. And then thank. I've prayed for many, many people over the years to be filled with the Spirit. Many, many people. And I know this. When people have been praying for the Spirit, they've asked, and then in faith, and then they thank the Lord. Lord, thank you. You've heard my prayer. I leave my life in your control, in the control of the Holy Spirit. Do whatever you want with me. And the Lord deals with us differently. We're all different people. He deals with us in different ways. And the experience of the Spirit is different for different people. But if you hand over control to the Lord, he knows what is best and he will do what is best in your life. What's the result of being filled with the Spirit? First of all, you have power to witness to Jesus. That's what Jesus said to the apostles, didn't he? You have power to witness, to be my, as Jesus said, to be my witnesses. You have increasing power to worship. When you're filled with the Spirit, then your worship is totally different. You're praising the Lord for who he is, how wonderful he is. I've noticed this over the years. Anybody who's filled with the Spirit, you don't have to say to them, witness. If you're filled with the Spirit, you do it automatically, I can tell you. You don't have to get the vicar saying to you, you've got to witness. No, you want to witness and you will witness. And I've done that over hundreds of... Why was I ordained? Because I wanted to tell people about Jesus. I've taken funeral services, wedding services, I've led services, I've told hundreds. Do you know, the Dean of Salisbury Cathedral asked me to stand up one day and tell all those people how I've been filled with the Spirit. The Dean of Salisbury Cathedral, imagine standing up there, I was told there were 1,000 people, isn't that amazing? What a tremendous privilege to tell people about being filled with the Spirit, bringing glory to Jesus. I could go on talking all day about the Holy Spirit, or not to. No more time, let me pray. Heavenly Father, how wonderful you are. How wonderful is the Lord Jesus. How wonderful your Spirit. Please fill us again. Pour out your Spirit upon us. Enable us to worship you in spirit and truth. Enable us to bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ, our wonderful risen Savior. Amen.